Hello, everyone. Welcome to In My Downtown, a podcast by the Michigan Downtown Association. This is Annette Knowles. In today's episode, we're talking winter with special guest Patrick Coleman. Patrick is an urban and town planner whose firm, North of 45, provides services in the snowy and cold Upper Great Lakes region. He holds master's and bachelor's degrees in urban and regional studies from Minnesota State University, Mankato. Mr. Coleman has been recognized internationally as a leader in promoting the concept of livable winter cities for many years. He has conducted extensive research on planning and design practices of northern cities around the world, has applied this knowledge in the planning and design of northern cities, and leads the Winter Cities Institute, providing resource materials and technical assistance in support of the concept of the livable winter city. Bundle up and listen in. Well, hello, everyone. We are talking with Patrick Coleman from the Winter Cities Institute about how downtowns can thrive and maintain activity levels during those cold winter months. Welcome, Patrick.
Thank you.
Glad you could be here today. I guess I want to get started by finding out a little bit more about what exactly is the Winter Cities Institute.
Okay, well, the whole idea of Winter Cities really started in the two men from Minneapolis who are very active in the urban environment there were standing outside after a meeting, and one of them said, "Boy, we sure don't do much to make our city look good in the wintertime, do we?" And so one of those men, Bill Rogers, did a lot of research and wrote a book called The Winter Cities Book. And really, he had done a lot of research into the urban development in the Scandinavian countries. And what he found was that their culture really embraced winter, and they had done many things over the years to make the city more livable. And so he and a professor from Canada, Norman Pressman, began doing more research and writing and hosting conferences on winter cities. They formed a group called the Winter Cities Association, which was active and published some books and magazines for a number of years. I was on the board of that group, and that group kind of declined and dissolved. And at that point, I decided we needed to keep the narrative going on this. So I formed the Winter Cities Institute to really try and promote this idea of livable winter cities. I do it in my planning work. I've had several conferences, the Michigan Association of Planning and so forth, where I talked about winter cities. In fact, I might have done the Michigan Downtown Association once years ago, talking about some of these ideas. But yeah, that's how we got started. And, you know, we have members from all over the world. And really, you know, I unfortunately don't have the time to devote to it. I think has a lot of potential still to, you know, promote this idea.
And, you know, I would be exactly the kind of person you're probably trying to reach through that organization, being the person who is really averse to winter. So thankfully, there's an organization out there that is trying to, you know, change the mindset and culture on that. Why is planning for winter activity so important?
Well, you know, when you look at Michigan, and of course, our winter conditions vary widely across the state, from you in the very southeast corner to the northwest Upper Peninsula, Houghton, Ironwood, Marquette. You know, we have vastly different winter conditions. Certainly, it's easier for, I think, cities that get reliable snow and cold to embrace it. But that doesn't mean communities in the southern part of Michigan can't do the same thing and take advantage of winter when it does happen. I understand it's kind of sporadic, but it's important because we really need to get our citizens to, if this idea that, you know, cold is bad and warm is good, that needs to change so that, you know, Michigan can retain young talent to our communities. And if local citizens don't have positive attitude about winter, or if there aren't things to do in the wintertime, you know, it's going to be harder and harder to attract that talent.
Sure, I agree. It's all important to keep people busy and engaged and outdoors, out the side of their homes during the winter months.
The surge in interest in outdoor activities during the pandemic really played right into the Winter City strategies of, you know, getting people outdoors and active in the wintertime. And so that was that that idea of that guidebook that I authored for downtowns that was published by MEDC in the Main Street program during the pandemic.
Yeah, that's a great segue to the question, because I am aware of the Winter Strategies guidebook that was prepared, obviously, as an effect of COVID to help communities pivot during the pandemic and get, you know, get people outdoors and staying busy during that time. But how can that publication now serve as a resource for northern cities? And by northern, I mean really any place in Michigan.
Right, right. So the publication, of course, included a number of ideas specifically oriented to downtowns and dealing with the social districts and outdoor dining and so forth. But I insisted that it include for things like snow management, wind mitigation, color and light, winter recreation. So there's really a lot of general information in there related to more than just downtowns.
And we're gonna probe a little bit about that in the next series of questions. So I'd like to dig a little bit deeper into some of the other, what I'll call less recognized strategies, because as we all know, most downtowns have mastered, you know, the ideas of outdoor winter events, and many have added, you know, those amenities like igloos or the greenhouse hot houses for outdoor seating in recent years during and post pandemic. So let's start with, you know, the winter elements, snow, ice, and wind. What can downtowns do to make these forces of nature kind of less impactful?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I've seen paying attention to the details of your urban design. If you have a park or a town square, make sure that it's usable in all seasons. And I will say it's been great to see all the interest and all the winter events and using snow and ice as art, and having, you know, a lot of communities now have ice skating rinks in their town square and doing those kinds of things. So it's great to see that, because those have been promoted by
paying attention to the urban
design. So many of the streetscape projects I've looked at over the years, it's almost like snow was an afterthought, not paying attention to how snow is going to be removed and so forth. So, you know, I think we can do a lot in that area. If there's going to be some public space or town square, make sure that the prevailing wind direction, that there's some shelter from occurring, there's some shelter from prevailing winds, because, you know, it can be cold and sunny and people are comfortable if they're out of the wind. As soon as you add wind chill into that equation, you know, it can become very uncomfortable. So wind is the enemy. Paying attention to that detail, it's really important for public spaces, public buildings, and so forth. Paying attention to snow management. If it's difficult to get around, if there's ice, people are afraid to walk on ice, or for good reason. I recommend, for example, you know, when the plow goes by and they leave the snow berm, those aren't always removed right away. And so really, there need to be gaps in that, probably every 40 feet, so that people can park their car and easily walk onto the sidewalk and not have to go to the end of the block. Little things like that can make a big difference.
That's interesting to know. I know in a previous position, We had an outdoor facility put some wind barriers up on a structure to help serve as that warming station. And it actually has worked out pretty well, just to keep the wind off of folks who gather in that public space. So you're right on point about that. My biggest grief with winter is probably the long, dark winter days. It gets so dark. I mean, downstate, it's dark by 4:30, 5 o'clock. To help that out, many downtowns have incorporated light shows or twinkle lights in trees. What other unique opportunities are there for downtowns to brighten the area with light?
Lighting public buildings, uplighting on beautiful architecture, I think really can help a lot. Lighting public spaces, using color in our downtowns with banners and certainly buildings as well.
Yeah, I've seen some pictures of some. I can't remember the country where the pictures were from. It must be somewhere in Scandinavia where they have row houses and all of them are painted a different color. And what a remarkable photo opportunity, one, but just brings an element of warmth in an otherwise white world when the
Right.
snow
And
is there.
you see that a lot in Scandinavia, they use natural colors on buildings and homes and so forth. It makes a big difference.
And it looks really, pardon the pun, cool to see. Cycling, bicycling promoted. A community up north actually instituted some dog sled races, which attract people. So, how can downtowns capitalize on these seasonal tourists to bolster that activity?
Yeah, I think things, having special events, and of course, your members know the importance of that, but not just in summer, do them in winter as well. Love, the winter events and really turn out for things like the dog sled racing, where they start it right downtown. Really makes for a cool atmosphere. Some other things I think that can be done, in all over Michigan, we have little and big ski areas. We have cross-country ski areas, snow tubing, and so forth. Connect with those groups and those facilities and market your downtown along with them so that people know there's other things to do, especially like skiing. Not everybody skis, and so family members and friends who tag along on a weekend are always looking for things to do.
They surely are. And many ways people get to those venues using their car, so as do patrons. So what are some best practices for parking and snow removal during the winter months?
Oh yeah. Well, I talked a little bit about ice. We'll see even in a downtown, the sidewalks will be clear, but the parking lots are, sheets of ice. So making sure the parking lots get sanded as well as the sidewalks, I think is really important. My mother used to tell me that she'd go to church on Sunday and get to the parking to the church, and the parking lot would be a sheet of ice. That's in Minneapolis. And she'd turn around and go home. And so how many other older folks are doing the same thing? It's, really difficult walking on ice. So, again, working with your public works crews or private contractors to make sure, not just the sidewalks are sanded, but also the parking lots. And better than salt, salt gets terrible environmental impacts and getting tracked in the stores and so forth. Of course, not everybody can be Holland, Michigan, and have snow melt system in your downtown, but that's certainly something I think to at least look at if you're going to be rebuilding your streetscapes or your downtowns. Are there opportunities to create a snow melt system in your community for those critical areas?
Or alternately, we can all learn to walk like penguins, right?
Well, yes, that's what you have to do. And also promoting the little yak tracks and spikes and so forth that people can strap onto their boots and shoes, to help with traction. And especially for older people, they often it's winter's hard enough for them because of social isolation. And so making it easier for them to get around is pretty important.
We mentioned in your biography that your background is largely in urban planning and design. But I do have a question for you if you want to take a stab at it, which is, what advice do you have for the local businesses to thrive during the typically slow months after the holidays? I mean, right now we're conducting this interview a few days before Christmas. The stores are full, it's really busy, people are in good, happy moods. But come January 1, it's like a 180. So what advice can you share that might help businesses get through those critical couple months?
Yeah, well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? again, special events, I think, in your downtown during that time can help. For example, the dog sled racing or other types of athletic events, whether it's running or fat bike racing and so forth, they don't happen in December. They happen in January, February. Really building on some type of local event, the snow and ice sculptures. I mean, that's one way. So I don't have a clear answer to that question because I'm not a retailer kind of expert. Making sure your windows are lighted, I think, would help quite a bit. Making sure the snow is clear and that people can get to your store from the street, very important. A lot of little things. Good sales.
Of course, yep.
Yeah. Problem with retail is, from Black Friday on to Christmas, and then after that, there's this big lull.
Yeah, but it sounds like, the basics. If we just keep up with the basics, keeping snow, keeping your building accessible, keeping it well lit, have, local promotions and sales during the time might just do the trick.
Right.
What other resources are out there for downtowns that are looking to plan for winter activity? And I must say, and give a plug to the Winter Strategies Guide, of course, but are there any other resources that you are aware of that downtowns can learn from?
Yeah, that winter strategy guide is still available online. I looked the other day and it's at the myplace.org, so people can look that up. The Michigan Association of Planning, following the release of the Winter Strategies Guide, they asked me to talk at the annual conference of the Michigan Association of Planning. It was virtual, and I assembled a panel that included myself, of course, but the Winter City Coordinator from Edmonton, Alberta, and a couple other people to talk about winter cities. And it was very well received, and they actually ran it again. And you can still purchase the training kit for winter cities from the Michigan Association of Planning. That includes the recorded session and some other materials. I'm really thrilled to see a couple other organizations take on the idea of the livable winter city. Outfit out of out east called Bench Consulting has a guidebook that they've published through Patronicity, offering some strategies for winter, all based on Winter City's best practices that Winter Cities Institute's been promoting for 40 years now. And then 880 Cities is a Canadian nonprofit organization. I worked with them on a project called Winter Mission, which selected three American cities, Buffalo, New York, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and it slips my mind now, a city in the mountains in Colorado, where there was an intensive effort made to get community input and promote the idea of winter cities. So they've got some publications as well. And again, that's 80 cities, and they're out of Toronto. So
Okay.
those are some great sources for information.
And Patrick, can you remind me what the website is for the Winter Cities Institute?
Wintercities.com.
Easy.
Very
Easy to
easy.
remember. Well, you've been so helpful with all of this advice. Really the purpose is to get communities, downtowns to be more proactive in planning for the winter months. And I think all your points and your advice will be very useful, and hopefully we'll see some communities in the winter of 2023 implementing some different strategies to help get the communities through these winter months. So just wanted to say how much I appreciate you taking some time out to participate in the podcast.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure.
We'd like to thank our guest, Patrick Coleman, for sharing his expertise on livable winter cities. You've been listening to In My Downtown, a podcast by the Michigan Downtown Association. Stay warm and get outside in your downtown.